Blog Talk Radio.
Hold it now!
Presenting Black Urban America, and my name is Kenny Jones, and I'm your host. And I come on Tuesday evenings from 8 p.m. to 9 Eastern Standard Time. On Saturdays, we have Carlton Steed, Provocative Thought. He airs at 8 p.m. to 9. And our website continues to be under construction. I haven't been in touch with my man in a week, but I will be getting in touch to see what the status is. Let's look at this. Shootings, gentrification, social injustice, poor education of the Black community, prisons, long sentences for small crimes, gangs. All of these negative entities in our communities. And like for the past year, we have been talking about solutions to address various problems in our community. Now, on tonight, I have someone that has a different solution. Separation. Now, this is not new. Marcus Garvey, going back to Africa, separate. Elijah Muhammad, it was a rumor that Elijah Muhammad negotiated with people in buying land, have his own nation, separate. Louis Farrakhan in the 80s, we're talking about we have enough resources to buy NBC, ABC, and CBS. Why can't we take those resources and purchase six states? I think they were Southern states. That would be Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, Virginia, the Carolinas. This is not a new thought process, but it has been suppressed in our conscience. Tonight, I have a man by the name of Mr. Dwayne Haggard, and he's a writer, and he's going to, I hope I'm going to say it right now, I'll be practicing all day, the Mahalalev Movement. So, I welcome Mr. Haggard. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
How you doing?
How are you this evening?
I'm doing great. So far, so good. So far.
Can you speak up a little loud?
So far, so good. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you better.
Good.
Now, before we get to the movie, can you, I know you're a writer, and you used to write for another name. Can you say the name of the magazine, Cato City?
Cato City Magazine. Cato City.
Wow, I got on the first track. Mm-hmm. Wow. So, can you tell our audience, people that are listening through the blog and that will download the show, can you tell a little bit more about yourself?
Who, me?
Yes.
A little bit by myself. Okay. Yes, sir. Yes. It began as far as nation formation or forming a country or what you call nationalism. I started coming to the conclusion that we need to separate or need to form our own country. Back in the 90s, back when I was in El Centro College, to me, I was like, typical, African American, Bible preaching and all that. And, and I was, God trying to figure out this hype about, this Revolution 95 and all that stuff, it was, that was being presented by Alderman McGee and all that, the Panther Vanguard Party, where it was at that time. But I ran into some people who was into, Pan-Africanism, socialism, or Nation of Islam, or people who were coming to the college, El Centro College in downtown Dallas, that would, a bunch of activists, they would preach injustice and all that, and their solutions to this problem, to these issues that's going on today, police shootings and all that. And, they do armed protests or, hello?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Hello?
I pushed the button I wasn't supposed to push. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
I got to keep my fingers away from the dials, man.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it was like armed protests. I mean, they did all kinds of things that were being organized. There was some African student organization at the time, and I didn't actually get involved in it. I was in opposition to it, the things at the time, because my thinking was like thought process is like America this, America that, America, America, America. But then there was this brother, he was in the Panther Party. He would later be with me in the Nation of Islam, which I was once a part of at the time. And he would tell me to, do my research and study and, do things like that. He's the only person that, kind of said, hey, you're going to do some research. If you want to know what you're talking about and see why they do things that we do. So fast forward a little bit. I did that, did my research and all that. And then, about maybe a year or two later, I meet a guy named J.L. LeVue. And what he did, what he was talking about, forming our own country and forming our own nation and separating and all that. And at that time, I was coming to myself, I guess what they call waking up, to the reality that was going on, after reading history and all that. Everybody knows history, racism, oppression and all that stuff, But I never really, I became with great pride in myself when I learned about Haiti. I never grew up knowing about Haiti until I went to 93. And that's how old I am.
mm-hmm.
But But the Haitian Revolution, and then, you know, then you had the revolution in Zimbabwe, then you had the revolution in, you know, and I later learned about all of these movements that that fought for independence in Mozambique and all that, and, you know, and it had me great pride that, you know, that Africa wasn't this place where, you know, you just living this life of negativity and poverty and poorness and, you know, and weakness. I mean, they had people who had strength, and, you know, and people who got involved in politics, and they formed their parties and all that. And, you know, that's, you know, come, and I just came to that conclusion that we should do it ourselves. And just, you know, and we would, and I would meet J.L. Lizzo, and I worked with him for many, many years after that. And we were trying to develop ways of how we can do it, how we can form our own country and all that. And through trial and error, we came to this conclusion about 3 years ago that what we need to do to form a country is through political takeover, meaning that we go to these, we go to the states that we are going to or migrating to. Like right now, it's Mississippi and Louisiana, and we form a political party there. And you try to get
like the Tea Party.
That already poked.
Like the Tea Party.
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, the Tea Party was formed.
Correct.
Yeah, but for example,
right,
you form our own parties, such as the newest party with the Tea Party. They just formed just to stop Obama. You know, they didn't care about anything else.
Right.
You know, yeah. Don't you know, at one time, you talk about research, we did have our own party at one time. We did. I forgot what it was called, back in the late 60s and early 70s. Matter of fact, Shirley Chisholm came out of that movement. So the Black Caucus came out of that movement. And they had a convention in Cleveland, Ohio in 71. And they didn't finish the convention because brothers and sisters for various states could not agree on anything. So after that, there was no more talk of have our own political parties. But but got to start, to me, it's only my opinion, to me,
yes,
you got to start at the local level and work your way up. And but you see, when you get into these local politics and these state politics, there are many political bosses that you have to interact with or deal with. But I'm sorry, but that thought just came to my mind when we were talking about. Go ahead, I'm sorry for interrupting.
Yeah, yes, sir. That's fine. This is what we're facing, and we have to meet up to that challenge. We're a pro-independence party, meaning that we're a party that is for we're pro-independence. We're for separation, so total separation of the from the United States, meaning that we would take over politically. You know, we would want to. We're following election cycles because we got to follow the rules, just like everybody else. We're going to have our own political party, a party that's not like the American Party, the Republican Party, any other party, and we're going to contest those seats. And matter of fact, the election cycle is next month is 2019. It's for state seats in Mississippi in 2019. And we're trying to get down there and contest seats down there so we can take over those seats. But eventually our goal is to take over all three branches of the government of the states, including Louisiana. And we want from the local government, we want to, you know, take over all the way to the governor, which would take several election cycles later. We hopefully take over by 2023. We would be the majority of that government, of those two state governments, and of course, and then we'll be in a position of power to just say, hey, we can negotiate independence as a political entity. Now, the reason why we're doing this is because we will have. Of course, we have politicians, we have resources, and then, you know, we have everything from you know, from the National Guard on down, you know, we control the state economy, and we'll be able to manage things, and we'll be able to have the power to do things that we cannot do, because right now the American government or the state government is whatever program you try to push, you know, the American government or the states won't support it. They're not being supported by the state government, and we're marching and protesting. We're holding these state governments accountable for something that they're causing. They're causing the problem, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like I say, for example, we want reparations. I mean, you know, we want reparation. We want land. You owe us. You know, give us this, give us that. I mean, we've been talking about that for 100 years. I mean,
right.
You know, and it's no results. I mean, they're not going to give us reparations. I mean,
why every
though,
other culture got paid? The Japanese, the Jews, every other culture got paid that the American government had wrong. So yeah,
right.
Except for us.
Except us, of course, we're the exception. But this is why political takeover. Now we're not taking over the government and demand reparations. We're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. I mean, I think taking over the state's economy is reparations enough. But no, mm-hmm. this movement, we're not demanding reparations. We're not a reparation movement. We're a political movement. We're not an organization. We are, you know, we're a pro independence movement, and our goal is political takeover and separate. And I know there's a lot of challenges, and we know who we're up against. We know who we continue with, and continue with the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. And I think we can out-organize them, and we can outwit them. But there's also the question, and this is what Jay LaZoo has addressed mostly. And, you know, and to learn more information about that, you can go to CatoCityMagazine.com and you read the articles. And we'll give you an idea of why we need our own country, or why we need to organize, get our own country, why we need to stand up and get our own country. And because there's a bit of hesitation, there's a bit of fear.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, wow. That music. Well, I think I can preach on the background music now. But anyway, there's a bit of a fear, hesitation. You know, we can't do this. The white man let you do that? Of course, he's not going to let you do that. We're gonna fight politically. You know, and we're gonna take it to the political arena, and we're going to get candidates, and we're going to have very strong candidates, and these leaders have to be strong. And this is something, and this is, you can't be soft. In this movement, you can't be soft, because you're going against these people that are pretty much got everything set up. You know, they're going to use everything they can, the courts, the trickery, whatever resources they have to stop us. And they stop each other. What makes you think they're going to let us get in there, you know?
Right.
You know,
well, let me how has the response been thus far in Mississippi from black folks?
Well, let me give you, first of all, let me give you our national poll of the response.
Mm-hmm.
We did a national poll because everybody was talking about nation, this nation, that black nationalism, nation is going back to Africa, whatever, you know. And we're trying to get people to organizations, trying to get people to sway them to, you know, accept their argument for whatever, whether it be nationalism, whether from a religious perspective, economic perspective, or you know, me personally, I don't feel that nationalism hasn't been politicized, actually, but you know, that we come from a cultural perspective, we come from a religious perspective, we come from a you know, those are perspectives that I've seen so far over the years. And of course, I've been involved in these organizations because I know. However, we did a poll. I said, let's go out me in jail and some other people. I said, let's go out and do a poll. Let's poll these people. Let's see who actually wants a nation. So so right now, locally where I live, you know, it was 50% that want a nation. However,
50%
national poll. Yes. We're in my city in Dallas, yes. But yeah, when we did the national poll, it turns out to be 38%. And nationally, 38% of African Americans that we polled said yes, we would want our own country. Because to my surprise, people have been sitting down amongst each other at the kitchen table, sitting privately, they're talking about having our own country. They were talking about nationhood. And they've been doing it even people who were as old as 85 years old. I mean, you know, back then they said, hey, I used to talk about my husband, or I talked about my brother. So they, you know, we talked about nation for a long time. We've been waiting for a nation for a long time, and we've been waiting on these leaders to actually do it. So even though the programs are great, but, you know, it hasn't been, we haven't gone to the political arena. We have to challenge the Democrats and Republican Party in those states for those seats. And we have.
Let me ask you something, Brother Dwayne.
Okay.
Do you think, okay, let me paint a picture, all right?
Yes,
we had a biracial man run for president and won.
Right.
In his delivery speech, he cited the area he wanted to work in, and he had to do by poor communities. And now, he can private citizen now we could talk about him. When it was 8 years was done, appears that black communities across this country went backwards, you know, and we really benefit. And I know he's the president, I know all the sneer, but you would think that we would get a leg up by having a person that at least biracial that was president of the United States. Now, I know.
Right.
I know there were forces in Congress and Senate and whatnot that was there totally to vote against him, everything that he did. So when you are successful completely, what if to say that the person just changes his or her ideology once they become governor or state senator or state congressman or what have you? What is to stop them from changing that ideology? Their platform originally was a separation, but once they get in, it's something else. What can you do to prevent that? Because it has happened. It has happened.
Right.
You know, there are many brothers that became mayors running on the black ticket. Many black men once they became mayor, the communities got worse. So how can you stop an individual from changing their ideology or maintaining the course?
Right.
Or that you try to roll the dice that hopefully the person will change their platform once they vote in.
Yes, sir. First of all, I have to the reason why black people in this country does not have a leg up right now is it's not they're not he ran under a white ticket. President Obama. He ran under a white ticket. He ran under a white party. That's the first thing. Even though it's as diverse as the Democratic Party is under a white party. It was founded by white people. Republican Party is the same thing, you know, even though they let the black people were in the Democratic Party. Now, majority of the people in the Democratic Party, thanks to Jesse Jackson. That's another story. That's another story.
Yes.
But
a whole different story.
That's a whole different story right there. That's the reason why. That's the reason why the Black independent parties no longer faded away because of him.
Right.
Anyway, that's another story. But I probably get a lot of Jesse supporters now gonna kick my butt. But anyway, I don't care. They're not our parties. They're not our parties. Republican Party, Democratic Party, they're not our parties. I mean, you know, we run under these parties, and we're in the back burner. And in these parties, they look out for them first. Even though some of us are blind to the fact that, oh, they support everybody. No, I mean, basically, in reality is they're going to look out for them first. Especially when they're accused of being, you know, putting their money, serving the rich donors, people who donate to these parties. These rich donors, these corporate donors. And we're going to get the leftovers. I mean, we're going to be the last ones that we're at the bottom total pole when it comes to these parties. It could be
we get the scraps.
I don't care what party you're part of. We get the scraps. We really get the scraps. So that's why we're forming our own party. Not only that, we're calling a pro-independence party, meaning that we're a separatist party. We're a separatist party. We're a separatist movement. And this is, I think this is the first, well, besides the Republican in Africa, we are the first to ever form a country and do it politically, and by taking over politically. There's no other movement under nationalism, Black nationalism, or however you want to call it. You know, there hasn't been a movement that came under that banner of through politics, and we're doing it through politics, and we're going to organize, and we're going to take over. And it's a political takeover. We're not going to march. We're not going to protest. I mean, case in point, the Million Man March.
I went to the first one.
Huh? The first.
I went to the first one.
I was in the FOI at the time. The Food of Islam. I was one of the brothers there.
I know what FOI means, bro.
Oh, yes, sir. I know you do.
I'm sorry, man. The keys are a little sensitive.
Yes, sir. I know. Yes, sir. The Million Man March, that was a missed opportunity. Missed opportunity. And the reason why it was a missed opportunity, though everyone wants to be in solidarity with each other, and we want to go back to our communities and improve ourselves and improve our lives and all that, that is wonderful and great, but there is one missed opportunity. If Minister Farrakhan had said and preached, if he had said that, hey, we're going to take over two states in the South, we're going to form our own party, and then we're going to politically take over, and then we can even improve our lives even better, or we can control our own and have our own nation, have our own country. That was a missed opportunity. He had million men, and I bet those people, all of Minister Farrakhan, they respect the man. Respect the brother. They would have just flocked, and they would have been organized. They would have been putting in the work.
And there were Black politicians out there too.
You Black politicians, yeah. They would have been like,
there were Black politicians out there too. And you're right. You know, some scholars critiqued the Million Man March as being like a missed opportunity, a missed cue. And he just focused on himself and whatnot. But like I said in my intro, the minister tried this in the 80s. He wanted to purchase six states for Black folks and have our own economy, our own political structure, businesses, schools, hospitals. You know, he talked about it. He spoke about it. But I really never saw any of the brothers and sisters organizing to try to purchase the city. Like I said, it was six states, and it was all in the South. And
right.
and nothing never became of that. You know, so,
right.
yeah.
Right. Let me
so,
let me
I guess just said, like, if you had a negative experience one time, you're reluctant to try it again. You know, but
mm-hmm.
it's something that has to be addressed, and something that it's something that has to be discussed and debated. Are we better off separate on our own, or be inclusive and assimilate? I should say assimilate, because we're not including nothing. Assimilated in American society. And I know a lot of African Americans have benefited from being a part of, let me be careful, American society. All right.
Yes,
and we talked about capital, because to run a campaign it takes millions of dollars to
okay.
back a candidate, to have an organized a political structure, a political ticket. You know, it has to be very well oiled and organized.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Exactly.
I guess that's the reason why the minister didn't address that. I mean, he's very supportive of men and women, black men and women, running for office and taking care of the community. He's very supportive of black men and women becoming involved in local politics, because it's right there where you live and what have you. And he's still in support of that, you know, but if you read between the lines in some of his speeches, he still is support of separation, but,
yes, exactly.
but, there's a big but, that, you know, how many black folks were really, really be in support of having their own nation. It's easy to sit down at the dining room table and discuss this. It's easy to bring it up as a topic in the classroom, but to actually go out there into the world and say we are forming our own nation, our own political party, you might get shot. Today, 2018, you might not make it to 2023.
That's why we gotta prepare and defend ourselves if that's the case. I mean, we're nonviolent. We're gonna do this nonviolently, but violence will not be tolerated. It won't be tolerated. We have to prepare and defend ourselves against that. It's a battle. This is a battle. Like I said, you can't be tenderhearted on this type of issues like
mm-hmm.
this.
You know you're gonna be called names, right? You know,
even by your own people.
You know, so it's a very revolutionary thought that always been around. Like I said in my intro, this is nothing that dropped out of the sky one day. It's always going back to Marcus. You know, it always been people talking about, we got to get out of here. We got to separate.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way to have on, because that's why they this is why now come from a psychological perspective. You know, this is the reason why they feel they could shoot us down, put our black celebrity as the face of domestic violence or sexual assault, put negative images in the media about us, you know, because they we give, we always asking. And I think independence is all a part of identity, esteem, and having your own. Look at all the Chinatowns in this country. Look at the Hasidic Jews. Police. Political officials do not go up in there disrespecting them like our communities disrespect. Why? Mm-hmm. Because they have their own. They have their own.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that's my point. That's what I'm gonna make a point. Of course, we have all these programs. We got all these programs in place, and some of them, we have these people who promote an economic program because I see them all the time on Facebook. They have an economic mm-hmm. program. We have a culture program. We have scholars educate our children about our history, African history or African world history. You know, and of course we also study and learn our history too. You know, we've people are being placed in the African American category where they should be in what we call the Mahalian category. Mahali is a Kiswahili word that means promised land. And
you know what? For a couple of weeks I've been trying to find a definition because it looked like from the eye, it looked like it's from the Fujian area. You know, dialect of language. You know, I mm-hmm. never thought to look at from the eye. You know, Swahili right. Promised land. And you want to know something, brother? If I know you may have an issue with the black church. I know, but one of the songs consider going to the promised land. And you know, if you hear something. Old Negro spirituals that were ancient tool for plantation to plantation to plantation. You know, where the promised land to them was not, or the promised land was having home or going back home. You know, so we always have been looking for the promised land, and we even looking for the promised land today. But I think, and I think one thing you got to take into account that people are afraid. And when you address an issue, you know, it's going to be a small percentage, majority will benefit. It's going to be a bold, small percentage fighting, but the majority will benefit when you succeed.
Mm-hmm. Right. Of course, yes. Well, I was going to make a point. We have all these programs. People, all these organizations have all these programs, and I think the Mahali movement can bring them all together. I think the politics that we're going to get involved in, even if we work on the politics and the programs could take place. I mean, there are people who want to, you know, buy land. You know, that's, like you said, real estate investment in commercial. Real estate, or it can be farmland, or anything like that. You know, I think we
don't forget about the farmers.
They have those programs in place, but under our government, the Mahali government, we can ensure that they can benefit from that. We can ensure that they can be protected from that, and they cannot be taken away from them. And no media can come against it because we would have. We have a medium that would, not even counter that, defend it, and we'll be able to defend it. We'll have a force, like we have our own police. I mean, we have a government. Let me put it in perspective. We're not trying to go to this cultural. We're trying to take over, meaning that we're going to eventually take over the whole state. We're going to take over the bureaucracy, and that includes the police department, and you know we have the National Guard. Things like that, you know, we have police that are going to actually enforce the law.
That's power.
That's
power.
And that's they won't have any privileges when they go out and kill anybody
mm-hmm.
with impunity and just because of whatever, you know.
And don't forget the judicial system. Don't forget the
judicial
system.
Yeah, they got them off to the judicial system. And we have a legislature, Mahalian legislature. That would, make amendments or change the laws that would favor us, and that's why, and that's the reason why, and that's my argument, and that's my reason. But we need our own country, okay? That's why we need it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we need it. That's why I'm standing up here to you today, boldly telling the people, and telling you, and telling the people, why we need a home nation. I mean, you know, all these problems, we're getting sick and tired of it, and we're sick and tired of the protests, and we're getting sick and tired of the marching, and, you know, and sick and tired of the rioting. I mean, we're holding them accountable for what? I mean, they're going to keep doing what they're doing because they have the power, they have the resources right now, and they can use that power against us, you know. I remember a Texas Attorney General here in Texas that said, with a right of a pen, I can ruin a black man's life. And I'm like, and that...
Wow, yeah, he's right.
Well, the power comes... You see, that's because of the power coming from... The power comes from the pen, right? Not from the other way around, you know, but he has the power to ruin someone's life. So they exercise that... So it lets you know that they exercise that power. And this for the naysayers who say that... you know, now they have the power. We can benefit now because they have the power to help us. Or they're this white politician and this person's for us. No, he's not for you. Not for you.
Can I ask a question?
This is get your vote.
Can I ask a question?
Yes,
okay. All right, let's say you get Mississippi and Louisiana.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Will white folks have to leave?
No.
Okay. What kind of black? You black Christians can move there, black Muslims can move there, but, you know, black revolutionary, black conservative. I mean, what kind of, you know, is it inclusive of all blacks or?
Right. Let me tell you this. They can, as far as white people, they can stay if they want. They can stay if they want to. They can stay if they want.
They're going to be white flight.
I mean, you know, as we know. We know, and me and you know, doggone well, when we move in the neighborhood, they're going to move out. It's going to be a white flight. It's going to be a flight.
Yeah, white flight. And look at the city. And they're coming back with the gentrification. But you know, it's going to be an ongoing fight. Even if you get governor, to get the judicial city, get the police, it's going to be a continuation. Because once they leave, they're coming back for it. All you got to do is look at Harlem. Harlem's not black no more. All you got to do is look at these famous black communities that the movies made about, been written about, and you know, generation of families and what have you. Gone. Gone.
And guess what?
What's that?
And guess what? We're going to, if they don't come back, they're going to try to, guess what? Guess what? Once we get established, we're gonna do whatever. We're gonna get challenged. We're gonna defend it. Every nation, from the strongest nation to the weakest nation, every nation is being challenged. I mean, it's been like that for thousands of years. I mean, what makes us any different? I mean, you know, we want to have a trade relationship in America. We're also gonna be competing against America, and in the nations of the world. We want to be among the nations of the world. 30%, yes, is a good idea. It's great that we have our own country. So we can be the next nation, or we can be the next world economic power.
Let me ask you this, Brother Dwayne. Let me ask you this. Do you think that having your own nation will solve some of the social injustice, poor education, the gangs, the prisons, the shooting, the gentrification that's going on? You think that this is a key solution to the redevelopment of our community and our cultures and our economic status?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It is a solution. Yes, absolutely. Answer all those questions. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. It is the solution to some of the problems that we have because like the police is backed by the law. I mean, you know, and no one, and the issue of the, if this current government, I meant Congress and all that, you know, if this current government was sincere about addressing the issue of police corruption and police brutality and police killings and police murders, I mean, that would have been addressed. It would have been talked about, because it's not even It's not hasn't been the bill that probably the Democrats or Republicans are passing. It's probably still in the docket. It's probably still sitting there. The issue's not being addressed by the government. So it tells you something right there, even on a state level. I mean, there's no one stopping it. So it's no one is stopping that. We keep protesting, and they're gonna it's gonna continue to rise. They're gonna still kill each other. It may stop for a while, but you know, if their interest is threatened or their pocketbook is threatened for some reason, but that's only just a Band-Aid. You just put a Band-Aid on the problem.
But, by the way, have you cited 80 people in Mississippi and Louisiana that you want to back to run for office?
Not yet. Jail Lazoo, actually, let me tell you, I met Jail Lazoo. I can't do that. Jail Lazoo is the leader of the Mahalo movement. And he's been in Mississippi, and he's talked to some people down there who want their own country, because he did a poll down there, and of course I did a poll too as well, and as a state it's much lower than the national poll, but that means that since it's lower, we have to come up with a strategy that we need to address and sway them, and of course, especially independent voters, sway them to accept the concept that we need our own nation. And some would accept it and some won't. And I think we can increase those numbers in Mississippi, the people in Mississippi to sway them our way and get it at our direction, though it ain't easy. But we have to have a very, very strong campaign, and we have to show them that we can do it. We can do better, and we can be bad by ourselves as a country. It's not easy. I'm letting you know it's not easy, but
about start your own nation. Heck, it's hard to start your own block from an Afrocentric perspective. It's hard to get. We talk a good game. We talk a good game. We make some fantastic speeches, but the actual implementation, that's where, It's gonna be. Look how fast. This is my criticism of us. Look how fast the Tea Party organized in less than a year. Mm-hmm.
It was organized by billionaires.
Well, brother, we have black millionaires. We have black billionaires.
Yes, we do, and we have that. And here's the thing, though. We're trying to reach out to those people, and the people that you know other organizations seldom reach out to. We're reaching out to those that they feel that you know that since they're rich and you know the white people made them rich, or you know some of them may have you know came up under their own bootstraps. You know, we're not reaching out to them.
Yeah.
We believe it or not, we're reaching out to people who are not a part of any cultural group or organization. Not that I'm preaching against any organization at all. I'm not saying that's not the fault. But, you know, because we believe people are not going to follow it because they followed the American system and they got rich and all that. You get mine and get yours.
Right.
To our surprise, that there are people, the people that are in favor of it are receptive to it. People who are wealthier are receptive to it.
Could they be in battle all their life? When you try to get to a certain status, you got to fight your way up there.
Mm-hmm.
They have the negative image of you. Then you have to. I mean, it is stressful. It is stressful being the only black at a conference. It is stressful for being the only black in the classroom. It's stressful for being the only black on staff. You are like the representative. Let me ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
Would you support a black Republican in Mississippi? If a Republican say, yo, I agree with you. I've been part of the Republican Party all my life, but I feel that we need our own nation. Because there are some progressive black Republicans that I've met. You'd be surprised. You wouldn't support them?
I would. If they switch parties, if they give up.
Oh yeah, of course.
Absolutely.
But their background is Republican. You know, but
right.
When they feel like you do, they're progressive Republicans. And they've been trying to change the Republican Party all their lives. And they did not move an inch, a half an inch, not one iota of an inch. So you'd be surprised. There'd be some black Democrats would be supportive of you. And they're a little piece of the pie, you know, but. I feel that you gotta reach out to all realms, the labor unions.
Well, of course. That's what it's all about. I mean, we're not, you know, it's the average working person. We're reaching out to the unions, and we're reaching out to people who have the banks, and we're reaching out. I mean, we're reaching out to those people.
Teachers unions are big political back forth, black.
Right, we're
big political forces.
Those.
You know, and if you go to a state that have a high number of black folks, the high number of population of black folks. Then you know there are people that are serving on school boards, labor, and they got large businesses, car dealership, or whatever. You know, it might be pristine land, you know, or area to begin. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wait,
so a couple minutes left. A couple of minutes left. Let's conclude. So, what's the result? The end?
Okay.
What is the goal?
I'm sorry. I apologize. You were asking a question.
No, I just said with a couple of minutes left, let's conclude with, you know, what the movement is trying to do.
Okay, all right. Our goal, here's the thing, though. Also, let me put out shout out to J.L. Lazoo. He's J.L. Lazoo is the leader of the Mahali movement, and what he's doing right now at this point is he's actually talking to people. He's from a perspective that why do we need our own country? Why do we need our own nation? He's doing a movement. He's I think raising money. So that all of this can take place. What we're doing, what his part he's doing is he's going outside of those two states and he's talking to people about forming their own country and possibly migrating to those states. And we're doing a migration. And this is nothing new. I mean, we had Pat Singleton. You know, we consider him as a Mahali, and Edwin McCabe, he's the one that, you know, he was a governor of Oklahoma Territory that he was, you know, he went to lobby Congress to have Oklahoma, for him to be governor in control of that Oklahoma Territory when Oklahoma was a territory. But, you know, but they came as soon as came, you know that story. But those with migration can be, but he's trying to, we're trying to revitalize that, and he's trying to teach the benefit of that nation. The benefit of forming a country and why we should form our own country. And he's been doing it for a long time. I mean, he's like me. He's been to all these organizations and hearing about them and knowing what they're doing, I've been a part of them. It came to the conclusion that, you know, some of the programs that are great, however, you know, it's time that we take action and that we take over those states, and we finally want to do that. I mean, as far as Louisiana and Mississippi, and taking over the states to form our own country, we're doing that. We're quite different from these other groups, and we're going to do it through a political party. We are pro-independence parties. We have nothing to do with any American party whatsoever, because that's our opposition. That's our opposition, unless of course they decided. But also, and it's urgent. It's very important that we need people to come down and organize by 2019, because that's when I, of course, I'm charged with starting the political campaign, starting the party, putting it together, and organizing people down there to form the party. And he does the migration campaign so that when by the next three or four cycles, we have a majority. We have a majority of millions of people, because the former country takes millions. To run a political campaign takes millions and millions of people. It doesn't take a few people. It doesn't take a few hundred. It doesn't take a few thousand or 100,000. It takes millions of people, millions of people, because we need to bring them down here. They need to come down and organize and form this nation. And that's the only way. There's no other way. No other way to do it. And people have tried to say, hey, this is the way, that's way. This is the only way. This is the final frontier right here. And
yeah.
You gotta do it. So that's my conclusion.
All right. Brother Dwayne, I want to thank you for your patience. I apologize for the last time that the show was dropped. It happened to be a couple times, you know. But I really would like to invite you back. And I'm going to be in communication with you, because I think this is a very... And the time is now. The time is now while we got that idiot in the office. The time, and before we have someone that gift of gab that can influence us to back them. You know, so
right.
I'm going to be in contact with you, because I think I have... I want to talk to you more. So thank you for coming on the show.
I want you to interview Jay LaRue. I want you to, you know, I may.
We bring him on next month. We bring him on in June. There's no problem.
All right.
Bring him on in June. First Tuesday in June.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
Tuesday in June. Settle. Put it in my calendar. That's if he's not busy. I know doing this thing, you know. But all you got to do is just use the cell phone. That's it. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Let's bring him on the first Tuesday in June, or any wherever he's available, any Tuesday in June. I would love to have him on. Okay,
right.
That's the one of the things I want to talk to you about, but I want to talk to you privately. You know, because people do listen to our show. I mean, I am being monitored, especially during the president. Okay, gotta go. Thank you for coming on the show. I'm gonna be in touch with you.
Yes, sir. All right.
Okay. You know, like I said, like I was telling Brother Dwayne, this is not a new idea. We've been trying, many, many brothers have tried. Wrote articles, wrote books, you know. But we really have to come together on this. Like he said, millions of people, not hundreds of thousands. If you know what? Y'all talk a lot of mess on that Facebook and Instagram stuff. Now, I have a real, real solution for you. What you gonna do with this? What you gonna do with this? This is a viable look. This is a solution that's been discussed for 150 years. 150 years. You know? But now, through all the tools, the people that they are billionaires and millionaires, that whole political office, we could do this. But we got to learn how to trust each other.
Like always, I am because we are. We are because I am.
Hold it now!